is a redneck's a man's best friend.
And that was from the album White Mansions. It's a great, one of the great music albums and songs of the Civil War. I want to make one thing clear to you. I would have been all for the rebellion against the central government of the United States, but I would not have supported the planters' war, the oligarchy war for the rich Southerners operating the plantations. I would have fought for the breaking up of the plantations and returning them to small farms, like in the North. If they had done that, the South would have emerged triumphant. Unfortunately, with the oligarchs running this Cotton Confederacy, or King Cotton, it was a bad situation. But even though my friend Stray Dog gets upset when I use the term white trash, I sometimes think it's not too bad an issue to adopt the name that your enemy despises you and names you. You know, when they call you white supremacist, or they call you white trash, or they call you, as Hillary did, what did she do this recently? I forget. She's a very forgettable woman. Well, anyhow, the problem with too many white people, and even white racists, is the idea that they would have supported the oligarchy in the South and slavery, which slavery was the enemy of a white working man. Just like wage slavery is today through blacks, millions of blacks being hired on to squeeze out whites. And they've been doing it for a long time, and whites have gotten too bashful to resist, like their white labor unions at one time fought tooth and nail to keep the blacks out. The only answer to the black problem is to deport blacks. And that's the or eliminate them some way, but there's no future if you don't do that. And they should, of course, done it long ago. And, of course, they shouldn't have brought them in the first place. The rich bastards who brought those slaves in for sale should have been shot down in the streets and their homes burned down. And there should never have been really one black person into North America, because it was destined to be supposedly a white man's nation, which it hasn't really been. It's been a rich man's nation, or maybe a rich white man's nation, but it's never been a broad swath white working class small business type situation. And that's the problem. We do not run the situation. Neither political parties or even a third party are controlled by our interests. Absolutely not. They're supported by the ruling class and the people with all that money at the top. And until you get that straight in your mind and are ready to come out swinging against this corrupt system, then it doesn't pay at all to argue about whether it's a Clinton or Trump, because they're all sitting on hundreds of millions of dollars, and with Trump, billions. And if you think you can trust people with billions of dollars in the bank as a working man, you're a fool. Well, I see the guy that's spilled the beans on Hillary's internet activity. They're getting more and more information on him all the time. Today there's a whole bunch came out about his involvement with all kinds of illegal activity. And of course this is going to come back on the wicked bitch. So it's going to be the next month, or a little over a month, is going to be a very interesting time, I'll tell you. And now the rumor is out. It's hard for me to believe that George W. Bush Jr., the little guy, is saying he's going to behind the scenes support Hillary. I think that's something that probably the right-wing conservatives put out. But I hope he did say it, because he's a war criminal and needs to be taken to The Hague, the World Court, and tried for mass murder. And anybody that supports George Bush Jr. is either totally stupid or a criminal themselves. So that's war's position. We don't try to mimic other people's positions. We don't try to be conservative right-wingers. We don't even try to be white nationalists. We are Aryan International for white people all over the world, and white people only. Whether you're in Eastern Europe or Russia or South America, no matter where white people are, that's who we support. But not the 1 or 2% at the top who are controlling all the money. Not at all. That's why I fly the flag of rebellion right on the top of my roof in the front of my house. And just remember, there's a whole lot of white right-wing racists out there that I have no common cause with. They're not going, no matter what they're trying to do, they're not going to win, and they're going to just continue the same problem. And if you think you can put a Duke type or somebody like that into power and they're going to solve the working class problems of white people in this country, you're a fool again. Yeah. They play you like a fiddle, man. They play you like a fiddle.
Something you want to ask me? The answer to the question you don't want to ask me is quite simple. There is no place for drugs in our community. We Siberians do not dirty our hands with that stuff. The winter seemed never ending, and the pack was dying of hunger. The leader of the pack, the oldest of them all, was out in front, comforting the young wolves, telling them that spring was coming. But at a certain point, one young wolf decides to stop. He says he has had enough of cold and hunger, and he says he's going to live among men, because the important thing is to stay alive. The young wolf lets himself be caught, and with the passing of time, he forgets he was ever a wolf. One day, many years later, as he is out hunting with his master, he runs servile to collect the prey. But he realizes the prey is the old leader of the pack. He falls silent with shame, but the old wolf speaks and says to him, "I die happy because I live my life as a wolf. You, on the other hand, belong neither to the world of wolves nor to the world of men. Hunger comes and goes, but dignity, once lost, never returns."
Caterpillar closed the big plant in Belgium, believe it or not, and laid off thousands of workers. They may have to go to another country.
Remember that company, Caterpillar? Oh, you almost forgot about it. Well, they had a big plant here in southern Indiana where men were making $20-$25 an hour. And then they reorganized the company and through a finagling with the money system, they fired everybody or sent them off on leave. And then they brought them back in, paying them about less than $10 an hour. And then, of course, they built the big factory in Belgium. That's Caterpillar, an old American company, to show you what the people with the money think about you. Yeah, that's what they think about you. Not only do they destroy your livelihood here in the heartland, but they go and build factories in places like Belgium and Asia and all over the place. Yeah, there you go, boys and girls. And you want to go out and vote? You think you're going to change things voting for either one of these jerks or any of these jerks? Are you out of your mind?
Oh, there were 30,000 Turks marching in Paris. Today, this is Sunday, the day before Labor Day, there were 20,000 Chinese marching in Paris. Signed a deal with Israel to give them $38 billion worth of military aid.
Through speech on the internet, they're basically revealing that because the globalists are on the run and they control so many of the levers of power, we're so dependent on Google, we're so dependent on Facebook, we're definitely not dependent on Twitter, we can probably do without that one, but for the most part you're seeing Apple, these gigantic companies where even those of you right of center would have a very hard time getting through the day without them at this point. They're starting to realize we're not doing enough to protect our own business interests and protect our own political interests, and they are making their play. under a veil of protecting people from abuse by authoritarian regimes and quote-unquote online trolls, talking about Breitbart again, Jigsaw founder and president Jared Cohen is releasing a set of tools known as Conversation AI, AI meaning artificial intelligence. I want to use the best technology we have at our disposal to begin to take on trolling and other nefarious tactics that give hostile voices disproportionate weight. We will do everything we can to level the playing field. As if the playing field's not level, you guys own Google. You guys own Facebook. You guys own Apple. The globalists own all of these things. We're fighting back. Little old Breitbart, Milo giving speeches, and they feel like they must defend themselves. And what are they going to do? They're going to infringe on free speech. They're going to clamp down on your voice. We're going to try to fight back, folks, but all we can do is spread the word right now why Breitbart matters.
You know, as I travel the highways and byways, I hear a lot of stuff on either satellite radio in the vehicle or regular radio. And I try to, I carry a micro cassette recorder with me everywhere I go. And if I can get it out in time and get it on, I get some pretty juicy stuff like that. I'm playing some of it back to you, but of course it doesn't sound as studio quality, but I think the main thing is to get the information out. So that's the reason that you're receiving some of this at non-studio quality.
Or campaign CEO of the Trump campaign and Donald Trump. Is this something that they're trying to build out of the campaign?
It sounds like it, and it sounds like that's what they're going for, and I think Hillary's probably making very good use of it in terms of driving a wedge between what she's calling like mainstream political Republicans and then alt-right. I think it's probably something that is being used very, very politically and intentionally.
What are the pitfalls of Donald Trump portraying himself as a racist right now? What do you think?
Well, I think he's trying to take a more conciliatory tone right now. So, these gestures that we've seen probably earlier in the week has been an attempt to offset that as he tries to pivot towards the mainstream. In some ways, very clumsily. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's trying to make it to do that. And I think what you're seeing with Hillary's speech is really trying to call him on that, to not cede him any kind of ground in that area. But I think he's trying to avoid that term. By making these very, very clumsy gestures.
But there seems to be a flavor of white nationalism that existed in the 1980s and 1990s, a flavor of the KKK that's coming back with David Duke and some of these media conservatives and whatever's left of the Tea Party. And, you know, this isn't a large base of voters. So what is it seems like an interesting strategy for someone who's trying to win an election at this point.
Right. And it made very much like it made a lot of sense during the primaries where you're trying to appeal to a very specific segment and activate that segment because it was a very crowded field. But he hasn't been able to translate that success into the general election, which calls for a much, much more broad coalition. It's a failing strategy. It's not likely to work. And not only is it it failed to serve its original goal, but it's turning off even people that might be considering Trump but need permission to do so. This kind of rhetoric doesn't give them any kind of permission to vote for somebody that is perceived as being racist. It causes a lot of cognitive dissonance, I think, within voters who may be in that middle space, maybe wondering what to do, and they're faced with this very unsavory option for themselves.
What is the angle for these news organizations? I mean, because it is such a small group of people, I mean, you're a professor of media studies, so the argument has been made that Donald Trump is thinking about building his own network or his own media empire after this, profit off of this group of voters. But it's not a large voting block. If anything, isn't it a dying voting block?
Right, but in some ways, like the television landscape in general has been characterized by fractionalization. So there used to be a moment in time where three networks pretty much controlled the airwaves, but now we have infinite numbers of networks. So everybody's really trying to go for a very specific slice of the audience. It is small, but it's also very loyal, very energized. So you have dedicated viewers in some ways for that very small segment. they're the ideal audience. They're not fickle. They're pretty dedicated. They're pretty loyal to that particular ideology. So they're more willing to turn into, from a media perspective, it makes complete sense to hyper-segment in that way. And I think that's just more of the nature of the television.
A lot of clients.
Oh, sorry about that. We were just about to play a clip. We have a clip of an ad that Hillary Clinton just released on Donald Trump. Can we play that real quick?
Yep.
We got the ad now.
And members like Donald Trump. It's because a lot of what he believes, we believe in. Donald Trump would be best for the job.
For president.
Yeah.
I am a farmer and white nationalist. Support Donald Trump.
Sending out all the illegals, building a wall, and a moratorium on Islamic immigration. That's very appealing to a lot of ordinary white people.
Running against Donald Trump at this point is really treason to your heritage.
Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or that of other white supremacists?
I don't know anything about white supremacists, so I don't know.
Trump named Steve Bannon as his new campaign CEO. Mr. Bannon is best known for his controversial Breitbart News, a campaign
food store, which was a new experience for me. And now I like shopping at health food stores. And if you want to know where the gluten-free stuff is, look for a gentleman with a gun in his mouth. Because bullets are gluten-free. Have you tried gluten-free food? It needs gluten. I don't know what gluten is, but apparently it's delicious. And you need to put that back in there. I tried the gluten-free pasta. And at this point, I'm thinking, I hope they make a gluten substitute, like a sweetened gluten, or I can't believe it's not gluten. Now, I think we have people here that know pasta. Pasta, you boil. You are my people. Pasta, you boil, boiling water, 10 minutes or less. Little olive oil, little salt. Gluten-free pasta, 90 minutes. Enjoy. Abundanza. I tried the gluten-free bread, and it made me long for low-carb bread. I tried to toast it. It broke the toaster. Should have bought the warranty. Stores on the road, and there's some healthy things that I like. Some people there have boundary issues. They walk up to me, and one lady said to me, "Do you like your beef cruelty-free?" "Oh, yeah." "I would have it no other way. Take that cow to Disney World. Put them on the rides. Get them Mickey ears. Couple of pictures, then whack them on the way to the airport." "Didn't you like taking your picture with Mickey? Put it right in your hook, the picture. You like the picture. All right, don't turn around now."
I love basketball. That's my favorite. I start off my basketball career in the very prestigious, very competitive, very cutthroat Jewish Community Center Basketball League. The JCC. The JCC was a wonderful microcosm of Jewish thinking. because we're a very cautious group, the Jews, which you can understand. We've been in a couple of pickles over the years. Generally, lose everything we have every 65 years, and it's been like 67. So if your Jews are on edge, you'll have to understand. But this goes beyond caution into the realm of lunacy. The Jewish Community Center Basketball League was a league for 12 and under Jewish boys, and they installed collapsible rims on the hoops. There wasn't a kid in the league who could grab net, and yet the rims were collapsible, which is such Jewish thinking. You never know. You never know. Better safe than sorry, Gary. But you better know. You never know. Nah, sometimes you know. There are certain precedents as far as smashing backboards. In the history of the NBA, four people have smashed a backboard. Not a single one was a 10-year-old Jew. More 10-year-old Jews have played Chunk in the Goonies than have smashed a backboard playing basketball. You're probably not Chunk, but it's more likely you are than you smashed a backboard playing basketball. And I remember I told my mom about this. She says, well, Gary, maybe it's for the fathers. Did you think about that? Yes, I thought about it and I immediately dismissed it. Yes. Oh, yeah, it's for the fathers. It's for the only group of people less likely to smash a backboard. The 45-year-old Black Sox with Air Jordan's fathers. They're not only dunking, they're dunking so ferociously that they're shattering glass backboards. Yes. Dr. Barry Rosenthal got off on a break Monday night, and he filled the lane, and Avi Lieberman, attorney at law, threw him a no-look oop. Rosenthal timed it perfectly, came down like a house of fire. Shards of glass went everywhere. Dr. Mel Rabinowitz, your orthodontist, you have an appointment for a tightening on Wednesday. I'll call to confirm, because he received lacerations about his forehead and neck. He was treated and released, Baruch Hashem. But now, the Rabinowitzes is suing the JCC. Spalding basketball for making a defective, well, they feel they were negligent. They feel that the Spalding basketball should come with a parachute in case such a thing happens. And they're suing Dr. James Naismith's estate for inventing a basketball game that was so violent. So very, very violent, Gary. it's exhausting.
Tact. There are old, gray-looking bastards, guys that couldn't even protect themselves, much less you and me, patrolling the streets under the pretense of being policemen. This is shameful, really. Now, frankly, I could care less about the police department itself, but I just don't like the fact that we are being fooled. We are supposed to believe that the police department is here to protect us. These guys are pretty stupid. Firemen are no better than cops. Next time you go to a fire, don't watch the fireman who is carrying the hose or swinging the axe. Don't watch those guys. Those guys obviously have things to do. Keep your eye on the fireman that doesn't seem to have too much to do, because the odds are, after that guy who has not too much to do has been in your parlor 20 minutes, he's got half of the small articles of your parlor in his pocket. That's right. Firemen are pretty close to being as dishonest as the average dirty goddamn cop. You dirty, stupid policeman that can't even work in the A&P. He's got to be a cop. You know what I mean? Don't trust them. Well, first of all, we all know from birth that we don't trust cops. And we all know some of the tricks of policemen. We all know how they We'll pull their badge on you and give you a bad time. We know that cops are basically full of shit because you can tempt and taunt the average cop and he'll give up. Okay? We know this. Okay. You can never expect to get a fair shake from anything that is involved with government. There is nobody who has ever run a government who has ever been fair and righteous. Don't ever leave yourself open to these people because they're dirty. That's a funny word, dirty. That's very basic. But they are. They're dirty and they're no goddamn good. In America, people answer to each other. There are very few individuals left in America. I happen to believe that I am one of them. You may think you are one of them. An individual is a person who thinks and acts for himself. Now, there are a lot of people who think for themselves. A lot of people who think for themselves. Boy, they're great. They watch Marlboro commercials or Chesterfield or something, and they say, boy, I'm a man, I think for myself. But thinking for yourself doesn't make you an individual. No. No, sir. In order to be an individual, you must not only think for yourself, you must plan for yourself. And you must plan ahead. And you must live up to these plans. You must know exactly
where. Today, how the entire black population of Forsyth County, Georgia, was forced out by white mobs terrorizing them in 1912.
Their methods were arson. They burned black churches. They set fire to black-owned homes. They fired into cabins.
Patrick Phillips grew up in Forsyth County in the 70s and 80s when it was still white. And he says one of the most racist places in the country.
It was not unique to Forsyth that there was an attempt at racial cleansing. What's really unique to Forsyth is it's a place where it succeeded.
Phillips' new book is called Blood at the Root, A Racial Cleansing in America. The expulsion started after a young white woman was raped and beaten to death. Two black men were quickly convicted and hanged.
It became a kind of almost like a country fair. It became a big celebration day, and 5,000 people came out and watched the execution of these two boys.
First news.
Well, boys and girls, there's just a few items I've collected. I collect a lot more than that, but if they're real important, I'll play them for you later. But I hope you like this, because sometimes I almost have to stand on my head to record this stuff going down the road. You got to be quick on the trigger, no matter whether it's off the radio or off the TV, because normally you can't rewind the TV and get it. So anyhow, I thought it was interesting, and I'll continue to do that as much as possible if you like it. If you don't like it, tell me, get that shit off your radio show. Well, here's a follow-up to that announcement of George Bush Jr. Little George and Hillary Clinton. Headlines, George H.W. Bush voting for Hillary. George H.W. Bush is reportedly voting for Hillary Clinton in November, according to a Facebook post by John F. Kennedy's niece. The post by Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, the former lieutenant governor of Maryland and the daughter of Robert F. Kennedy, shows her posing with the former U.S. president with the caption, quote, "The president told me he was voting for Hillary." A Bush family spokesman said only that the former president will vote as a private citizen in some 50 days. He's not commenting on the presidential race in the interim, unquote. Well, that fits perfectly because Hillary is responsible for helping the destruction of several countries in the Middle East, and Bush Jr. is credited with the whole Iraq War, the whole weapons of mass destruction bullshit, and the whole bit, so they make a good team. I don't know which one should be vice president. Probably George, because I think Hillary's smarter than George. I guess this is good news. Black Americans today earn even less relative to their white counterparts than they did in 1979. According to a new report by the Economic Policy Institute, black men's average hourly wages went from being 22.2% lower than those of white men in 1979 to being 31% lower by 2015. Obama's done them a lot of good. For women, the wage gap increased from 6% in 79 to 19% in 2015. Valerie Wilson, one of the report's authors, said the disparity exists despite the fact that people in this country think or at least believe that racism is getting better. Oh, Obama really snookered those black people. Well, here's a man versus rat story. According to Bobby Corrigan, the world's leading expert on rodent control, many of the world's great cities remain totally overcome by rats, two-legged and four-legged. In New York, we're losing that war in a big way, he says. Combat metaphors have become a central feature of the rat conversion among pest control professionals. In Robert Sullivan's 2014 book called Rats, he described humanity's relationship with the species as an unending and brutish war, a battle we seem always to lose. But why? Jordan Kisner attempts to answer that question in our long read. This won't be such good news. It's an estimated that robots will eliminate 6% of all U.S. jobs by 2021. Anyhow, it's estimated that robots will eliminate 6% of all U.S. jobs by 2021. But what if those robots eliminated work entirely? Asked Ryan Advent. Quote, just as a lottery check does not free the winner from the shackles of the human condition, all-purpose machine intelligence will not magically allow us all to get along. And what is especially tricky about a world without work is that we must begin building the social institutions to survive it long before the technological obsolescence of human workers actually arrives. There you go. Another one of the problems. Well, I guess I was wrong here. It's the old man Bush that said he'd vote for Hillary, not our past most recent Bush president. So I made a mistake there. An expert from CNN just now said two or three lone wolves may have gotten together. Wait a minute here. If you get several lone wolves together, that's a sect, group, or pack. And the idea of calling any of them a lone wolf makes zero sense. Unless, of course, you're someone CNN considers an expert, which is comedy unto itself if you think about it. Oh, that's funny. Several lone wolves working together. I love it when experts talk about something they know little about. They usually get it all wrong. Well, when recruiting soldiers, you don't necessarily want them to be dumber than a bag of wet mice. But they don't have to be fighting Einsteins either. All that they really need is belief and will. They need belief in their cause or they won't volunteer. And they need the will or they wouldn't even try to fight. With ISIS, they're finding plenty of people with both. As terrorism becomes a political football, the Obama administration and their apologists are stuck on this idea that it's somehow not really terrorism unless they can see coordination between cells and are individuals being controlled from a central authority. That makes sense, I guess, because leftists are obsessed with centralized control of everything. They cannot in any way, shape, or form wrap their little minds around individuals taking individual action, but doing it in a common cause. Islamic extremists have been disseminating information for years about how to build bombs, how to choose soft targets, acquiring financing, and so on. They like the lone wolf. They want thousands of lone wolves to rise up and do their own thing for the glory of Allah. And I say for the glory of the white race. The Obama apologists and the open border apologists should ask the families of the victims if they really care if the acts that took their loved ones were coordinated or not. If the shooters in San Bernardino didn't receive marching orders from the same people as the Orlando nightclub attacker, what difference does it make? To borrow a phrase, if I may. Why should not take comfort in the failure of these latest attempts in the New York metropolitan area? Good luck and poor luck rain down equally on the battlefield. In the long run, the terrorists are winning. They use the left's diversity dogma and the Islamophobia club. The left wields to their advantage. See something, say something. Has been neutralized and committed jihadist warriors are invited in as refugees. The ratio of the latter is irrelevant. The stupidity of inviting mass murderers into your own house is unfathomable. Whoa, wait a minute, I slipped here. Conspiracies are only as strong as their weakest link. The Islamists know that and will only encourage more and more of these lone wolf attacks. The only thing that will stop them is for more small L liberal Muslims. What the hell is a liberal Muslim? To root out the extremists in their midst and for everyone else be ready to take the defense of their own lives personally. Well, sure, that's what you have to do all the time. You have to be concerned with your own safety and your family's safety. But you can't stop lone wolves. You can catch some of them, you can slow them down. That's why the lone wolf concept works. And it works for everybody, whoever wants to use it or not use it. There you go. It's funny that they, all the powers that be, claim that bombing the people into the Stone Age in the Middle East, and ISIS included, will stop lone wolf action in the West, which is stupid. And as ISIS is blown to bits collectively, the lone wolf practice spreads throughout the world, and it'll continue to spread because it is the most successful program that ISIS has. And so you're denying them the ability to fight on the ground as a regular army. They switch to lone wolf. It's simple as that. Well, it looks like the time is coming when the Chinese will replace the Japanese. This is the reason. In 2011, social scientists recorded a decline in interest of young Japanese people for marriage and intimate relations, leading to a demographic crisis today in Japan. Of course, it's all over the world, Russia and European countries and the United States. Today, the situation has worsened. In 2011, Japan's National Institute of Population and Social Security Research presented data that 61% of unmarried men and 49% of unmarried women ages 18 to 34 are not in any romantic relationship. However, even those Japanese who are lucky enough to fall in love and start a family do not experience any further attraction to their partner. Approximately 50% in 2014 admitted that they do not have any sexual contact with their partners. According to them, sex is too tiring and they are more interested in hobbies of their own. Given these occasions, Japan is sinking deeper in the demographic crisis. According to experts, this situation is fraught with economic collapse. Considering that Japan is the third largest economy in the world and a country with massive debt, the whole picture looks pretty frightening, according to the chief demography and migration of Russian Institute for Strategic Studies, Ivan Beloborokov. Yeah. Japan is the oldest state in the world, with proportion of citizens in their 60s and older is the highest. This can lead to the collapse of the pension system as well as threaten Japan's defense system. And in fact, it has a negative impact on the Japanese economy. According to Beloborokov, soon enough, Japan will lack human resources. Thus, robotic machines are their only hope. Today it is all about consumer culture and careerism that gradually supplanted such eternal values as a family and children. Among 41 countries which took part in the study conducted by Durex, Japan took last place in the number of sex acts per year. According to the study, Japanese have sex only 45 times in 12 months, compared to citizens of Singapore who do it twice as often. If taking into account that this data was gathered in 2005, the situation in Japan only worsened. Japan has become the main audience in terms of pornographic consumption. Japanese pornography is absolutely everywhere, starting from magazines to apps for smartphones. It simply kills normal human desires, announced Beloborokov. The Japanese phenomenon of lack of interest in sexual activities even has a name, celibacy syndrome. Surprisingly, Japan was never a sexually repressed nation compared to Europe. Intimate ties have never been seen as sinful in Japan. Maybe one day the Japanese will be able to regain sexual desires and fix the demographic situation in Japan. And that type of thinking is spreading from Japan, of course, through Europe, Russia, and everywhere else, especially the white countries. Well, non-white practices of the black holes of Calcutta and everywhere else has spread to England. Despite the introduction of the Modern Slavery Act in Britain, the number of women forced to work as sex slaves in illegal brothels in London is increasing. Police officers expect more than 1,000 people to be held as slaves in London. Victims are exploited in the sex industry as domestic servants, on building sites and car washes, or forced into labor. Wow. Kevin Hyland, the UK's independent anti-slavery commissioner, is calling on people living in London to help police combat sexual slavery that was blighting the capital. It's up to the public to come forward, Kevin Hyland said. People who live in a street where there is a brothel operating will see obvious signs of numerous women arriving, young women often. They may arrive escorted, they may be there late at night, there will be people regularly coming to the door. According to Mr. Hyland, more than 3,000 potential victims of slavery have been identified by police across the country, and that number is rising. So there you go. More interesting news. I would say that the largest percentage of this sex slavery comes from the brown people and black people who have invaded the shores of England and live in these ghettos. And this is where a majority of this comes from. Every time I read an article like this, it reminds me of Camp of the Saints, the book. If you haven't read it, you should get it. It came out over 20 years ago. It describes this demographic invasion by the Third World into Europe and what happens at the end. In England, like they do other places, they're fighting it the wrong way. You're supposed to turn in these brothels and sex slave places to the authorities. Well, the point is, the reason these brothels are there is because you let them come into your country. So you must get rid of the problem by deporting massive numbers of non-whites out of England. That's the only answer, but they won't do it. Are you kidding? And it'll have to come to a upheaval and some pretty tough fighting and killing to achieve it. To achieve that, no matter how the intentions of the conservatives are to try to eliminate this kind of problem, if they're really trying, it's not going to happen. It takes a firm iron fist to solve the problem. Doesn't mean democracy. Well, that's it for today, boys and girls. Terrible Tommy is going to leave the bunker and get some other work done today, if possible.
Millions are dead and more will die. Your leaders are bigots.
Because the Pope wars on the Catholic Emperor.
Your generals are bandits.
Who wars on the Catholic King of France.
You employ any mercenary you can get.
Who wars on the Catholic King of Spain.
And the Pope plays politics. Helped by 100 other princes, kings,
bishops. All for their own rotten purposes.
All sides are rotten. Except for people like you. Religious fanatics who incite murder for the sake of a God they have never known. Don't you understand? There is no God!